want you to level off, be that bonsai tree that you get pruned and picked. He wants you to grow, grow, grow and be tall, tall, tall. He wants you to grow deep roots. And he wants you to grow in God today. Amen. You might say, well, I'm growing. I'm mature. I was born again in the womb. I was born again since I was a little kid. Well, as mature as you are, you should never stop growing. Never stop learning, right? In the things of God. So whatever stage that you're at, this series is for you. It's dedicated towards you because the most important thing that you can do is decisions in your life. A series like this will help you to say, you know what, my levels of maturity are still happening. The best is yet to come, so to speak, right? And so we all need that. Thank God for spring. Everything's turning green, right? How about you growing in God during the springtime? Taking on new challenges, doing the things that God wants you to do. Say yes to God today, amen? Have a yes spirit in your heart today. The Old Testament people, when they were set free from the Pharaoh in Egypt, they had to learn the processes of new life and new way of thinking. In Joshua, they get to the point of conquering, and they had to come to the place of saying, we're no longer slaves or bound that way with slave mentality thinking, but we're freedom fighters. We're setting the captives free. We're occupying until Jesus comes. We're taking over land. Amen. And so in Joshua chapter 3 on the big screen, our theme scripture for the series will be, Joshua's announcing to the people, set yourself apart to the Lord. In other words, you remove yourself from that. Don't have any hindrances. Tomorrow, somebody say tomorrow. Tomorrow. That will be Monday, right? He'll do amazing things among you today. And I still hear the words of Josh, man, that he would come and tell us that God has something better for us tomorrow. That God has something new for us tomorrow. There's new beginnings. As much as we've had trouble today, yesterday, God always is a God of redemption for our lives today, right? I want to bring the word to you that you have the assurance of salvation in this room. Because you're here in the house of God. You're watching me right now. You're watching this church. You might say, well, sometimes I doubt my salvation because of what I did this weekend. What I did last night. We all face that at times. I had to get past that. I'm not better. You know, if you want me to levitate up here, that ain't going to happen. I'm a human just like you guys. But I had to get past, you know, I'm saved. I'm loved by God. Amen. I have an assurance that I'm a son of the Lord today. Right. You can get to that point. If there's battles in your heart, in your mind today about where you're at, about your assurance of salvation, I want to guarantee today, as the journey began, that you received Christ as your Savior. You have a new beginning. You can mature in the things of God now. Amen? You have an enemy that will come and feed you things in your head and your heart today and infect you and say, you're not going to heaven. You're not going to make it. You're nobody. But God announces today that you're a new creature in Christ. You have a new beginning. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's what? Yeah, and the old is gone. That old man's gone, amen? He's gone. But the new is here. Get out of here, amen? The new man, amen, is here. Right, everybody? Amen. The moment that you receive Christ, you received a new identity. You're in a new family. I have a new name, amen? Son of God, amen? And thank God for it. So do you today, amen? I kind of look at it this way. I belong to this sinful worm group, amen? Let's be so low. I used to play racquetball against the hand curb, man. That's how low I was. I was that low. Low living, low thought. Yeah. But when God saved me, amen, I became this handsome saint. Amen. This beautiful saint in the Lord, right? And God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. Look at the mirror. Look at yourself, right? Say, look at you, saint. Amen. You look good today, amen, if you're God's child today, right? You're no longer a sinful worm, amen. There's a good metaphor. And it's the moment like this that you got on God's team. You were on the losing team. That NBA team never won a game. They're always down below in the basement bracket. Nothing ever amounted to that NBA team. And even when they got that number one draft pick, they ruined him. Amen. He broke his leg. You never won. But God took over. And you became part of Jesus' team. And you didn't foul out. Jesus said, shoot again. I'm giving you the ball. Shoot again. I fouled out. No, I'm giving you a new beginning. Shoot again. When you get on God's NBA team, his team, you always win. All you do is win, even when you lose, right? Amen. Because we have the attitude of winner today, amen? You're welcome to play alongside Jesus all the days of your life, amen, and be that winner that he has for you today, amen? I want God to renew my attitude, because sometimes I get to that thinking like, you're nobody, look at you. And I have this old way about me that creeps in. How about you? Yeah, we all do. You said that softly, but that's okay. Like, yeah. Sometimes I'm doubtful. I get judgmental with people. Like, I get critical with people. And God is saying, Mario, I've given you a new way. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Forgive. Amen. Love people, right? Yes, life goes so much better. I want you to see yourself in the light of just being, you know, a tourist will walk around and they're snapping pictures and they're not there to stay. They're just there to take pictures and maybe check into that bed and breakfast later and hang out. But when a soldier comes along and they're told to occupy a land and take over the land, if a bullet goes off, they're out of there. Hey, we're in a foreign land, man. We got to get some protection. But if a soldier goes in, he protects people. He's the type that says, you know, this is part of the thing. I'm occupying till God comes. I'm taking over this land. I'm taking this ground right now. Christianity is no different. You're not called to be a Christian tourist of just walking around and enjoying. You're called to be a Christian soldier. Amen. To march on. Amen. Yeah. Things are tough sometimes, but you got to keep marching, right, everybody? Yeah. Don't get out of here when the first sign of trouble happens. This is God's house. This is God's family. Amen. We stay. We thank God for it right today, everybody, right? Yeah. You continue. Amen. There's this teaching that they call grace, and it's an important teaching, and they used to teach it back in the day where we had no grace. I was raised in a church that way. They were kind of mean-spirited, and you would feel bad, and you would repent every Sunday because you thought you were going to hell. But they got so abusive now that they've made it into a cheap grace where you really don't need to repent or change. Just say the prayer, but your behavior doesn't need to change. You can still be the sinner that you once were. And God calls us, thank God for grace, and thank God for His mercy, but He also calls you to change. Amen. He calls you to repent. You should look differently, right? We should follow Jesus and things should be better. Well, God loves me no matter what. Yeah, He loves you no matter what, but you still have to change. Amen. You got to do something with your life, right, everybody? Amen. Are you still here with me? Amen. Come on, Pastor. I want to be part of a feel-good church. I want to make me feel good today. Yeah. The alternative would be what? Feel bad church? I don't want that either. How about you? I want to follow Jesus. Because when I follow Jesus, He assures me that I'm His son. I'm His daughter in this house. Right, everybody? If anybody shouldn't have felt good, it should have been the Apostle Paul. Because he was in a jail cell when he wrote this next thought today. He was in a jail cell for selling something illegally, for embezzling funds. For doing something wrong. Paul was in a jail cell for preaching the gospel of Jesus. And if anybody would have been a victim, it could have been Paul. But he chose to be a victor in Christ today. And so Philippians 3:13 on the big screen, hear the word of the Lord. Brothers, I don't consider myself taking hold of it yet. Aren't you glad that he says I'm not it and all that in a bag of chips? But he says there's more. Man, God has more for me. But somebody say one thing. Paul had his one thing. He says, that one thing I do. I wonder what that one thing was. I wonder about it. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what's ahead, pressing towards the goal. And by the way, if you don't have a goal line, you'll hit it all the time. You got to have a goal. And the goal in front of you is what you go for. To win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, right? There's decisions that we make. That make us. We are the sum total of every decision that we've ever made. And then how you react to the bad decisions are how you are made up right now. Yeah, you made a bad decision, but how you react to it will prove your ground or what you are made of in the future today. I started when I was just getting ready this week for the teaching and the thought time with you today. I thought about, man, all the decisions I made in my life and the best decisions that I made. I got three that are real good, top three. The first one was, I wish she was here so I could win some brownie points, but maybe she's checking on the nursery. I married my wife. I went up in the animal chain. Amen. I went up. Amen. Thank God. My life really got better when I got married to Irma. Amen. She's blessing, and thank God for her. Amen. I said it for the first service. You don't think I'm just trying to get brownie points. I'm going to keep saying it. Amen. It's been an ongoing theme. Best decision I've ever made. Second thing, children. I had my kids. We planned for one, and then one was an unexpected blessing. Amen. I got anointed. Amen. And something happened. Amen. Give me a good amen. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're too asleep to even think. You'll get it at 3 a.m. today. The third thing was I planted this church. It's the honor of our lives. And Irma and I planted this church many years ago, of what God's done in this church. And the honor of working with you today. I noted one of our elders today that was once weak. Now he's stronger. And now he's praying for people. Touch my heart. Yeah, you couldn't do that a month ago. Look what God's done, right? You can't keep a good man down. To God be the glory. Amen. See, if I would have never planted the church, I would have never had that moment with God. It's the people of God. It's seeing a lady that probably can't get on our knees, but she's still praying for people and loving people at the altar, right, everybody? That's God today. It's a good thing. See, when I was the decision that I needed to make when I was in my 30s about planting a church, a lot younger, amen, not too much younger, but a lot younger, I had to realize that, well, God, people have got, they heard about it, what was going on, another pastor, and a pastor in Corpus Christi that I was a youth pastor for 5 years, another pastor said, hey, I heard you're back in Texas, why don't you come and preach for me? I had a lot of Sundays off, amen, I was in a church. I was going to plant a church. And I thought, well, sure, I'll go. Man, and God moved in that church. And like the whole church got saved on that Sunday I preached. Isn't that amazing? That's what I think in my mind anyway. And God really moved though. and so afterwards he met with me and he said, Mario, I know you were down the street, but you know, you're here and you're going to. I said, why don't you come be part of my staff? I'm getting older. I'm going to retire one day. You can take over. It's a magnificent facility. There was a Christian school. He said, and by the way, I know you don't have a home. We were living with my mom and dad with one kid in diapers. It was Andrew, and then Rebecca was a little bit toddler there. And he said, come, we'll buy you a house. It can be your house. We'll sign it over to you. The church will buy it, but then you will own it. I'm going to give you a house. So I went home, you know, to Irma, and I said, hey, you offered us a house. And she said, what? In Jesus' name. How many ladies don't want a home of their own? And I prayed and I fasted. I asked God, what should I do, Lord? Because I didn't want to go to Corpus. I'll be honest with you. I like to visit Corpus, and I was there, but I didn't want to live there again. That's flesh. And if you're from Corpus, I love you guys, okay? Not to offend you, but... And those who are watching, amen. But nice city, amen. But I sought God, and then counsel was spoken to me. He says, you know what? That's a great offer that you got, but what do you want? Where's your heart at? And I said, it's here in this city. Yeah, it's here in this city that God has shown me. And he said, well, this is where you should plant. And see, if I wouldn't have planted this church with you, I would have never got to know you. I think Roger spoke about the building, that it's just it is just sheetrock and metal outside. It's a metal building, but the building is you. And just think, if I would have been over there, which would have been okay, I would have never met you. My life wouldn't have been written. This church has healed me. It's healed my marriage. It's healed me physically. It's healed my spirit. And a church can do that when people gather around and love you. And you love them back. Amen. The best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What's that one thing that you could change and it would make the biggest difference in your life today? If you could change that, you say, man, that would make the biggest difference in my life if I could change it. Paul had that one thing. I got some categories. These are extra notes for the people that really love Jesus. Maybe you'll put them somewhere else. If you don't love Jesus, you don't take extra notes here. Must mean you don't read your Bible at all either. Amen. Number one, I think there's this one thing, my habits. Somebody shout my habits. Get rid of that habit that's killing you. Get rid of it. Life would be better if you didn't do that habit that was wrong. And you know what there are. Some people get told, hey, you drink too much. And I know I don't. I can handle this. Everyone around you tells you you drink too much and you don't listen to them. And it's robbing you of that quality of life. Some of us, it's the internet. And texting, we're addicted to social media. It's right next to us. We're posting this, posting that. Some of us, it's an addiction. Prescription medications, whatever it might be, there are habits that need to be moved out of the way so you get that one thing. How about that one thing that you put in front of God? It's called debt. And you're in debt. And you got to tackle that debt. I'm going to save you a lot of money because if you go into Dave Ramsey's thing or some other money management thing, you know what they're going to tell you, but you're going to spend some money. So I'm going to give it to you free today. You know what they say about debt? Attack that one debt, that high interest credit card, that one big debt, attack it one at a time. Pay it down until you get rid of it, and then go after that next debt, that high interest credit card. Pay off the car until you become debt free. I saved you a bunch of money. You ought to give me some love for that. Amen. Yeah, that's right. That's what they tell you to do, right? How about relationships? And I did that, Daisy, and I messed you up, right? Sorry about that. Can you give me that one back? Thank you. You're a good lady. Amen. Some relationships are toxic. They really are in our lives. And they pull you down and they make you compromise. Well, you need to walk away from those relationships that do that. You need to walk into the ones that give you life, right, everybody? Some of us, our marriages have grown cold and God wants to reignite those with passion, but you got to be about that today, that one thing. You know what I noticed about great Christians? Great world-changing Christians, they do these two things along with relationships, in the context of relationships. They give and they forgive. Somebody say that with me. They give and then they forgive. You become a great person that way by doing those things. How about health? Oh, you don't want that one up there. Come on, don't put that health. You finally are going to address the weight issue because your doctor's been telling you for 3 years. Mr. Nava, lose 20 pounds and you'll be better. Your knees won't hurt as much. Your back won't hurt as much. You know what I'm saying? Do what the doctor's telling you to do and get your health in line. Right, everybody? Finally, because I'm meddling now. Come on, don't. Dreams, my dreams. Everyone has a dream in this church. I believe God's put it within you. Maybe just start. That man started a business. The Ziegler's started a ministry this year. She retired after 38 years at Frost. And there's no spiritual unemployment. And Linda Ziegler saw it that the people of our community needed to be clothed because they didn't have free clothing. We gave them a church that gives them free clothing now because of her hard work and ministry, right? And so thank God, you start a ministry, start a business, go on that mission trip that you're supposed to as a young person this summer. And you're supposed to do that today. By the way, there's details coming for our youth about a great mission trip that's being planned right at the border of Mexico. And thank God for it. You'll hear about it probably next week. Focus on that one thing and do it, right, everybody? God is on your side. The Word of God is on your side. Living faith is on your side. Pursue the dream that you have within your life today. This is the Word of the Lord to you right now. If you leave God out of your one thing, your dreams, your efforts, you're never going to accomplish. It's going to be built on sinking sand. But if you put God in the middle of the spokes, and he's making everything turn, you will accomplish more than you've ever dreamed in your mind, and God will blow you away. Amen? Spiritual, you're a spiritual being first, and so be filled with God and do what God's telling you to do. How would it look like to lead a spirit-led life that God is leading you forward? It would look much like King David's one thing. Paul had a one thing. David had a one thing. Psalms 27:4 on the big screen. By the way, there's this new Bible, not a new Bible, Word of God, but it's called the Passion Translation. It's found in Bible Gateway, and I believe it's also found in, on the YouVersion. But I love this translation. You've heard it before, you lifers here, but look at this translation. And David said this, here's the one thing I crave from God. Somebody say, the one thing. I seek above all else. You're helping me good. David said this, I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house and finding the sweet loveliness. You can change the screen for me. The sweet loveliness of his face, filled with a delightful awe, delighting in his glory and his grace. I want to look at this last sentence for me. I want to live so close I want to live my life so close to him that he takes my breath away. No, he takes my pleasure in every prayer. In other words, God, I'm seeking you right now. And then God said, no, look at my boy. Look at my daughter. She's seeking me right now. They're looking for me. They're trying to find the answer that right now that I need to give them today. Yesterday, there was a moment that I'll give it to you later. Let me back up. Okay, we're going to rewind that, right? What is that one thing that you can have like David had, and you can do it? Irma and I want that one thing. We want to get closer to Jesus. This season, for the rest of my life, I want to get closer to Jesus. When I need to be reminded of this, I want to get closer to Jesus. It's not about all the other stuff. It's getting closer to Jesus. There was a lady and a family in the Bible that Jesus was very close to. And Lazarus and his family, two sisters, well, he had died, and you know the story. Well, the preparations had happened in another time in the gospel story that Jesus was going to come over to their house. Guess who's coming for dinner? And they prepared, because as you would, if Jesus was coming to your house, you'd want to prepare, right, everybody? Amen. In Luke chapter 10, in your handout or on the big screen, it says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to the village where a woman named Martha. Now, we dog Martha. Preachers have annihilated her. They preached her into hell almost all these years. And I'm not going to do that, but I am going to pick on her just a little bit. Is it okay if we pick on the Martha? Yeah, today? And nobody says amen, but I'm going to do it anyway. Look what Martha did, though. Martha, what did she do? She opened up. It was her home. And she could have closed the door, but she said, Jesus, you're welcome in my home. That's a good thing, right? Amen. Yeah. And so she called the sister. And her sister was named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening. Notice the posture of Mary and to what he was saying. But Martha was being what? By all the preparations that had to be made. She was in there cooking. It's a second service, and I'm very hungry. I wonder what she was cooking. Maybe some arroz con pollo. Maybe some fideo. Amen. I don't. But man, whatever it was, it must have been good, right? The lady could cook, right? And so she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you even care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And there's always, again, a sister that goes off. Amen. On the deep end, right? Jesus tells her, Martha, Martha. When Jesus says your name twice, you better listen, right? I don't think he shouted at her. Like that one brother that told me, he said, you know what? When I shout, people think it's normal. But when I start talking kind of low, you better watch out. Amen. Martha, Martha, amen. I remember what you told me, amen. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing, that same thing that David had, that same thing that Paul had, is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be what? The food, give it to me. The drink, give it to me. That internet, what's about to happen, you get closer to God, it won't get taken away from you. The dreams will come true. There's an assurance of your salvation. There's an eternity right now that you have in your being today that won't be taken away from you if you get close to God. There are three principles that I found in this story. I want to give them to you quickly, then sooner than later, amen. So let's go ahead and start. Number one is this: seek to make the most of each day. Say that with me. Seek to make the most of each day. It's a new day. It's a new season. You rise up. The coach is giving you the ball again. Shoot again. I fouled out, coach. No, shoot again. Amen. I struck out, coach. No, you're up to bat again. Amen. No, you're the quarterback again. Get back in there. Amen. I'm putting you back in the game today. You try again, because God is the God of redemption. Somebody shout redemption. Redemption. It's a great gift. It's a fresh start. It's a do-over that you get today. Jesus is coming to your house. Jesus is in your house right now, and you're in the kitchen. What's up with that? Be with Jesus. Be in the living room, right? God wants you with him today. There's a great setting here and now that you have a new opportunity. It's a new season today. In Ephesians, Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in 5:15 on the big screen. Why don't you read it out loud, not out soft? You hadn't had any fun all day. You on the internet, read it out loud too. Nobody will think you're crazy if you're reading out loud in front of your computer screen or on your phone. Let's read it out loud together. 1, 2, 3, go. Be very careful then. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Yeah, there are evil days right now. Yeah, yeah. That word yellowed, highlighted, is opportunity, and it's the Greek word for, somebody shout, kairos. What it means is a window that's open, but it's going to be shut. And right now it's open. The Word of God is being preached. The Word of God is being given. The worship is rising. Amen. We're lifting our hands and worshiping God, and God is speaking to us. It's window time that's open. Amen. That's when we go through it. But the kairos has the feeling it's open for an opportunity right now, but it will be shut. And God is saying, Lord, speak to me. We're telling the Lord, speak to me, God, your servant's listening. I want to hear the word of the Lord today. Amen. There's a lady that, a funny story, a lady wrote a pastor a letter. And she said, Pastor, these are the Sundays that I need to be off, because I'm going to be off. I'm not going to be here. And she said, the Sunday before and after Christmas, I got to get ready for family coming over, so I'm not going to be in church. Same for Easter. The Sunday before Easter, Sunday after, I got to get ready, so I ain't going to be at church. The Sunday before the 4th of July, I ain't going to be in church. Memorial Day weekend, I need off because I get tired. Mother's Day, well, it's about me, so I ain't going to be in church. Father's Day, I got to get ready for him, so I ain't going to be in church. 4 Sundays, because it's going to rain for 4 Sundays, going to rain, so automatically, and don't include me for 4 Sundays. 3 Sundays, I'm going to have family reunion. They're coming over, so I'm going to be out 3 Sundays. 5 Sundays, I'm going to be off, because people are going to be sick, and I want to tell you ahead of time that I'm going to be out of here 5 Sundays, because we have 5 kids. 5 Sundays for business affairs. I'm going to be out of church for 5 Sundays. 1 Sunday, company's going to come in unexpectedly, so I ain't going to be in church. Can I continue? 1 Sunday, I'm going to be out because of the Super Bowl. Pastor, that leaves 5 Sundays that you can count on me of being there during the year. And you might think, that ain't me, but I want you to take inventory about what I just said. It's quiet in this Baptist church. How you treat the house of God is how he will treat your house. There's a new season. We're part of a great church. You have a fresh opportunity today. Those that are new to Living Faith Church, I guarantee you this. If you give God 1 year at this church, 1 year at this church with God in all the mix, you get involved in a small group, you do life, you shoulder up with me. We shoulder up together with the leadership. We walk together in this house. You do what God's told you to do during the season. Join a small group. And if your life's not better after that 1 year, God hasn't increased you. God hasn't gotten better. I'll go with you to the new church. You'll get that later. Amen. 3 a.m. I don't want you to go. This is the local church is the gate of heaven. And there's an angel here that's residing. And the angel of God is here waiting for you to respond to him. You're better together. You're meant to be part of a local body. You're a local church, right, everybody? And so thank God. Make a commitment to God's house today. Make a commitment to plug in, because your year will be better. Make a God decision to do it. A God decision to enter the best season of my life, because it's the best season spiritually for my life. My life got better because my spiritual life got better. Second thought is this: seek to get rid of every distraction. How many know Martha had some distractions? And she had to get rid of the distractions. Think about your distractions. Man, there's some good things that I'm doing, and they're good, but they're not God's best. They're busy, but they're not God's best, right, everybody? I notice things that are tame at first, like a little bit of Facebook, a little bit of that habit, a little bit of that. Soon they become out of control. If you keep feeding them, they get out of control. A little bit of downcast, a little bit more downcast, then you enter full-blown depression. You know what I'm saying? And God is talking to us at this very moment. God won't let you down today. God will put your hope, if you put your hope in Him, God is listening. I have the remedy, which is God's Word. Aren't you glad we have it in front of us today? Amen. Hebrews 12:1, the Message Bible says this. Hear the word of the Lord about every distraction. Do you see what all this means? All these pioneers, Moses, Joshua, thank God for Rahab in the Old Testament. The pioneers that blazed the way. All these veterans are cheering us on. My loved ones, my father, an elder that is now in heaven, John Sprinkle. They're loved ones, right? Your loved ones, right? They're cheering you on. Come on, you can make it. It means that we better get on with it. Strip down and start running. The runners in the New Testament that were running with the message, they would strip down completely. So there wouldn't be any hindrances. It wasn't second skin, lightweight stuff that you buy at the Academy store. It was, you know, they ran naked. Imagine that coming at you down the street, right? Yeah. Start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. Do y'all remember that Amy Grant song? It was just like one Christian contemporary artist. It wasn't K-Love back then. It was K-Light or whatever it was called. And Amy Grant sang this song, Fat, Fat, Fat Baby. And she sang it as a mockery about fat Christians that all they do is get fed, 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 and they never use their spiritual muscles. Go to the healing conferences, I'm all for that, man. Go to the preaching conferences, I'm all for that. I go to those. But if I don't use what they've given me, if I never lay hands on the sick after the healing, and never visit the hospitals and lay hand and do something, then you're going to become a fat, fat baby, right? No extra spiritual fat, right, everybody? No parasitic sins, no blood-sucking things. But it says, keep your eyes on who?
Jesus.
Mario?
Jesus.
Jesus, amen. Yeah. Who began and finished the race that we're in. Get rid of the distractions. Make a choice to sit at the feet of Jesus today. Make a God decision that you're not going to let anything, any habit, ultimately that won't mean anything, keep you away from what's going to bring you life, and you'll experience God's very, very best today. Amen? Seek to make the most of every day. Seek to make the most of every day. Seek to get rid of everything that distracts you today. Finally, third one is this. Let's say it together. Three. Seek to one, two, three. Seek to prioritize. Thank you, Jesus. Just feel the Holy Spirit. I mean that right now. I don't do this. You can count this on the count of... I do. Let me pray for you. Amen. Would you receive this prayer? Amen. Father, touch the people of the Lord right now as they extend their hands a little bit above their laps right now. I hadn't planned this, Father. You love the people of Living Faith Church. Each of them have God dreams. Each of them have something that they're pursuing in your name. I pray that you would be good to them, Lord, as you've been good to me and you've blessed me. Thank you, Father. You're not finished with them, Lord. And because they're here right now, the people on Facebook Live right now, God is ministering to your needs right now. God is your hope. God is the one that you look for right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the touch of Jesus right now upon people. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Amen. We're going to make it a priority right now to have the presence of God in our lives today. Thank God. Thank God for the worship. It's out of this world. Amen. But you carry that worship in your heart, right, everybody? Yeah, coming to church on Sunday, again, is great, but you need to walk out of here and have the church be within you today. Amen. We've done this thing for years. We invented it, and it's called Be the Church. We go out, amen, and we do what the church has called us to do. Amen. This is just halftime. This is us rallying together and say, hey, we got to go outside and we got to win. The game is on the outside, not here. It's a 2-minute warning for all of humanity right now. The presence of God, not only on Sunday, but when you go out on Monday, right? In your school, in your workplace today. Let God be the center of my life. Years ago, I did a series called Say Amen. And it was all about that prayer isn't our last option. It's our first option. We treat it, well, I got the bad report from the doctor. I better pray now. Before we went to the appointment, we pray. Before we get the counsel about this or that, we pray. We pray first. Prayer is not this knee-jerk reaction prayer is a response that should be very first in our lives right now. We stay in an attitude of prayer. yesterday as we were cleaning up with a clothing closet and we were trying to get ready, a precious lady at the end that had worked so hard during the day, she said, I need prayer. This is happening in my life. And rather than me say, which I don't want you to follow, the example of that, say, I got you on my list. I'm praying for you. No. We immediately gathered together as God's people. Are y'all with me this morning? We gathered together right there where two or three are gathered. And our first response was to pray. Amen. And you can do the same. Amen. You don't need Bible college to do that today. Amen. And God met her need. Before you send the email, before you send the text, pray. Amen. Before you go to work, pray. Amen. God is on the inside of you. And that's valuable. You're extremely valuable to God. I read that Tom Brady's jersey that he wore in the Super Bowl, two Super Bowls, because of what happened with the drama and the stuff that happened, it's worth $5,000, his jersey. Now, I can go online and buy that same jersey for $49. What's the difference, man? It's the same color. It's the same size. And the difference is Tom Brady wore that jersey. Tom Brady is wearing the jersey, the $5,000 man. Amen. That jersey's worn by the $5,000 man. The $49 man is the one I'm going to wear, right? And what's so valuable about you? Well, I'm ordinary, Pastor. People ignore me. There's nothing special about me. No, you are special. Amen. You are extraordinary. Amen. There's something good within you because God the Father, which is way more than Tom Brady, amen. God's within you. You're God's child. And when you carry around his vessel, you carry around as a vessel God within you, you're very valuable. So put your shoulders back. Put your head high. Not because you've done anything, but you're a child of the King today. Amen. God's within you today. Amen. God has good things for your life today. Do you receive it? In the name of Jesus, do you receive it? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the touch of Jesus upon our lives today. Thank you for your hand upon this church. Thank you for the willingness to go forward, God, and all that we would do and say, Father, you've been good to us. We bless your name today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We count it worthless, Lord, the stuff of this earth. And for the sake, Lord, of knowing you, Lord, I discard that stuff that's held me back. The habit, the things that we need to do as believers in this room, we count it as garbage so I might gain Christ. Thank you, Lord. And we seek God every day, and we make it a prayer. I want to get rid of every distraction, God. This is it, God. Prioritize right now the relationship that I have with you, my Father. And with God's people. Thank you, Lord. Gather those that are the sons and daughters of this place together. Thank you, Jesus. Let their hearts be one. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Serve God with everything, right? Make a commitment towards that with me right now. With everything, God, we serve you. Yeah. The world can have what it has, God. We're going to serve you. We have the agenda right now. The agenda of God today. I always want to give you an opportunity in this room to receive Christ. All salvation is, hear me as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. All salvation is just reordering your life. You put God first. You're deciding this day to put God is moving. I'm going to put God first today. Yeah, today. You're far away from God. You once had God first, but now he's far away. And today you've been encouraged to say, God, I'm going to put you back to the place that you belong. Thank you, Jesus. First place. Thank you, God. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, God never embarrasses anybody, but he does invite. And the invitation is made right now. He calls you, and you got to invite Christ. You got to invite him into your life. That can't be forced. God has to be invited into your life. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself. He waits for you to invite him. If that's you and you're far away from God today, you've never said yes to Christ, you need to come close to Him today. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, that's me? Would you remember me in a prayer right now? I'll lead you in a prayer right where I'm at. You'll pray right where you're at. If anybody's in the house like that, just making sure. I always want to give you an opportunity, making sure. Father, apparently everyone is saved in this room. So thank you. We've equipped the church for ministry. We've equipped the church to do the things that they walk out now and they do. Thank you, God. We got our marching orders, Lord. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Make sure that you fill out a connection card if you have a prayer request.